So 1 Corinthians 10:31, and what we have under the new covenant now, and I'm thankful for that, and you see these of subheading sometimes in the New Testament, is freedom. In contrasting with the old covenant, when they had a set of rules and directions, and there was very clear cut what can be done, what couldn't be done. We live in the age of the Spirit. Now we have the greater blessings if you are in Christ to have and being indwelled by the Spirit, down payment of what is to come. You have the most powerful being living in you. There's really no option for failure. If God has chosen you, he has placed his Spirit in you, you will be victorious. The Lord will make sure you are victorious. He has promised that. He will conform you to Christ's likeness. And I always think that how painful that process is depends a lot on us. If we resist the Spirit. Remember Stephen when he was preaching to, before he was stoned, to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, he charged them at the end, why you always resist the Holy Spirit. There's always going against the word of God, God himself, the Spirit of God, and that has consequences. So if he has chosen you, he will see you through. It might be a more painful ride if you object to it, if you're against it, if you are in opposition to it. But what I want us to do today is concentrate on top priorities. So I call this the top number one New Year's resolution. So if you talk about New Year's resolution 2024 and you see the world doing it and you like to do this, and I think there's a place to have a plan to go into the new year, calendar year. So I'm going to do this and have these large items, objectives. The top one priority is what Paul just wrote and told the Corinthians on chapter 10, verse 31. So whether you eat or drink, because he was talking about eating and drinking, but he says, okay, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do. You see, he says, okay, we're talking about eating and food, sacrifice to idols. Should I eat this? Should I not eat this? Then he says, okay, either you do this or anything else. Anything else, whatever it is, do it all for the glory of God. That is the what. May your top one resolution for this year would be whatever you guys do individually. We all have individuals' plans. We have things to do. We are planning to do certain things during the year. Whatever you do, from what we think small to large, by the way, in God's eyes, everything is very small. So you should always be praying for anything. You lost the keys, you pray for the lost keys. You don't think, oh, this is too small for God. Well, and then you say, I better pray for my so-and-so. They're in hospital. They're in a surgery. That is big for us, but for God, it's also very small. So you always, always, always pray for everything, all petitions, all with thanksgivings. But whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. May the driving power and objective in your life of whatever you do individually and as a family you have in place for this 2024, do it all for the glory of God. May he be at the center of your thoughts all the time. Now, in thinking about that top one priority, I thought about what is written in the Westminster Confession of Faith or Catechism, Westminster Catechism. And on question one, they ask, what is the chief end of man or woman according to the Westminster Catechism? What is that top one priority? So they ask the question to the catechism when they're teaching the children and the people. The chief end of man is, or woman is, and right. So to glorify God, which is, as a proof record, they take 1 Corinthians 10:31 from there. That's a proof text. In addition to Romans 11:36, and enjoy him forever. So I like the way they put it. It's a two-pronged exercise. So we're not seeking to glorify God as our top priority with a stoic attitude. Like, okay, I know these glorify gods. I don't like it. I don't have any pleasure. They're pulling me into the church on Sundays. I'm going to do it for his glory, but the Lord is also seeking the right attitude, the right heart. If you know your Old Testament well enough, you get the feeling that the sacrifices and the offerings that they were commanded to do, the Lord was looking for the heart at the same time. So don't neglect one of these. Jesus told the Pharisees in terms of tithing, but look for mercy and compassion. So he's very aware of the heart. So when we seek to glorify the Lord, we need to also train ourselves and transform ourselves by the power of the Spirit to bring our greatest joy and pleasure from him as well. Enjoy him forever. So we glorify him, and he is our center of priorities. Top one priority, to glorify him and enjoy him forever. So seek to enjoy him as the greatest treasure. And that is the perfect biblical start for any of the subsequent plannings for your year and for your life. And we all have different plans and objectives. Some folks are going to school tomorrow, back tomorrow to the new semester. They're finishing studies, they're continuing studies. Some are starting new jobs or are seeking for jobs or in retirement, looking to retire and spend time in another country perhaps for months and going back and forth. There are many, many things, and all of them are good. If you are in Christ Jesus, all of them are good. If you're doing it in faith, and we look at one of these, when we go to the first of the house, is how do we do this? How do we glorify God? We'll look at how what is needed to be able to do so. So as we look forward to the new year, we have to understand what are the top priorities for us to concentrate and or direct our efforts. I'm always very pragmatic in the sense we have limited time and limited resources and limited energy. So we need to concentrate on the things at the top of our list that bring us the most reward, as it were, that are the most important. So we need to do this. We need to have goals that make the most sense of the more value for us. We know that if we are in Christ, that we're all well in this earth, that is, we're on pilgrimage. So first thing is, if you start your top one priority list with earthly things, you're missing the point, the biblical point. Because your efforts are being placed in things that are going to be destroyed. When you think about earthly things, money, work progression in your job, maybe move up the ranks, which some of them can be godly if you do it the right way, but it's not. It shouldn't be your top one priority. That's the point here. If you put your efforts on earthly things, you're wasting your time and your efforts because those things are gone. We are in pilgrimage. If you are in Christ, we follow the scriptures. We know, we read in Peter, we are pilgrims, we're aliens. We're just passing through. So what are our top priorities? So our starting point is 10:31 then, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And in a larger context, there's freedom in the new covenant age. The Holy Spirit is indwelling us. And Paul addresses this issue of his freedom and how he adjusted according to the situation in order to promote and propagate the gospel message. So Paul is, if you understand the full passage where he's talking about this, do it to the glory of God, he closes this section with, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Top priority in his glory. How do you, if you are in Christ, how can you live for the glory of God? You don't seek your own good. You seek the good of others. And you seek the good and their salvation as top priority. You want to see more people joining the hallelujah chorus, as it were, and bring praises to the Lord. If the Lord uses you to bring somebody into Christ, and this person is then thanking God, that is your best reward. Your joy is that you've helped a brother or a sister come alongside. Their eyes were opened by the Lord. Now they see, they have repented and placed their faith in Christ, and they're worshiping alongside you. That is the greatest joy ever. And that brings the most glory to God. So what is important for us to remember and have in mind is there is a two-pronged approach then, as we were saying from the Westminster Catechism. So we want to concentrate primarily on glorifying God as one of the top one priorities of our life today and coming to the new year and always and have the backing for that. And Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians 10:31 when he says, on the topic of food and drink, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, He hands the context on the assertion that anything you do to the glory of God, that's one another end, and something that in the same time together we have the enjoy him. So if that is, we call forever, forever. He says enjoy him forever, the Westminster Catechism says, and indeed it is. And it is backed by the psalmist in the scriptures. They have, I found another proof text for that, enjoy him forever. In Psalm 73, 25, 28, there's nothing the psalmist says that I have on earth that I desire but you, God. So the psalmist comes to the point and says, what do I have on earth but you? And that is, so when we seek to glorify God, we need to seek it from a right heart, a heart of love. We can't generate this love for the Father ourselves individually. He has to love us first. And the way he loves us first is he saved us. He saves us, he redeems us, and then he opens our eyes, and then we love him back. Good. So that is the way of the intro. How do we do this? Let's look at three or four points just to how do we do this. And all of them familiar passages. And I want to start with the most important part. If you turn with me to Hebrews 11. And as you would expect, we're thinking, of course, conversion. We're thinking having the right heart before you attempt to do anything. So 11:6. We'll read 5 to 6. 11:5-6. And he is in that section in Hebrews 11. We call this the section of the heroes of the faith, as it were, people in the past who have shown their faith to God. And on 5, the author of Hebrews writes, by faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So the first point, how do we do this? We have to have faith. Without faith, without a proper heart, without a converted heart, you cannot please God. You cannot, in a biblical sense, glorify him. So if you're here today, and this is actually the only word for the unconverted amongst us, for the only person outside of Christ today, in this message, this, pay attention, this is for you. Whatever plans you have for this year, if you're outside of Christ, they're almost and they're worthless. In the biblical sense, in eternal sense, the only thing that you have to do is repent and believe in Christ. Whatever you have in plans, in stores, it's going to count for nothing. If you're not trusting in Christ today for your salvation, whatever you're planning to do, in the ultimate sense, it might look like you accomplished, it might look like you attained that goal that you have, but in the bigger, larger perspective, eternal and biblical perspective, it will be like nothing. It will be destroyed when the time comes. So the most important part to you is you need to go on your knees and pray to Christ Jesus our Lord. Beg him to accept you. He stands ready. He will not turn you away. Repent and believe in Christ. Obtain the right faith by the power of the Spirit. He will grant you repentance and faith. So grab a hold, grab your scriptures, and come to the Lord in forgiveness. He will forgive you. But don't let one day go by. So that's why the author of Hebrews is saying, without faith, you cannot please God. So that's the first thing. How do we do this? How do we live lives that are glorifying to God? And that's our objective. We have to believe. We have to faith. We have to believe he exists. We have to believe, if we're in Christ, that he is our Father. We have to believe that he has saved us. We have to believe what his word says. His word is divine. It's truth, 100%. We love him because he loved us first. So if we are to love him and be satisfied in him, we need to come to him in faith. Say, yes, Father, I believe you exist. I believe you are my Father. I believe I have the Holy Spirit. I believe you are transforming me into Christ's likeness. I believe eternal life is mine. I believe I belong to your children. I believe Christ is coming back. I believe your name and your glory is the most important part in the world. Help me to live a life that is worthy of this calling. Help me to live a life that reflects this glory. And help me and grant me opportunities to share the gospel with the dying world around us. So that's the first how. The second, a familiar text as well, and I know a lot of people have this favorite verse, Proverbs 3:5. Proverbs 3:5. If you turn with me, you can put a little bit of mark there. If you don't have it, you probably have it underlined already. Proverbs 3:5. And we'll read 5-6. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3:5-6, concentrating on 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Or an alternate reading, it says, or he will direct your paths. He will make your paths straight. He will direct your paths. So trust in the Lord. Familiar, but very beautiful words from the wise man here, from Solomon in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. So you believe he exists. You believe his word. You need to trust him. Trust his word. Trust him. And submit in all your ways. Submit to him. How does submission look like? And we're going to go and close one of the 4 points at the end will be James, and that's how we do it. Because when we're planning things for doing on 2024, and we think I'm going to do this and this and this and this, submission looks like, Lord, you take it in prayer. I'm planning to do this, Lord. I think I would like to do this. You can be very open with him. I would like to do A, B, C, D. But not my will, your will. I don't know. My mind, my wisdom is completely eternal, is limited. I don't see. I think this is what would bring more glory to you. But you know, maybe what brings more glory to you is that I suffer X, Y, Z, or that I go through this and that, or that he knows. So you need to submit your plans, and he will direct your paths. He will, what we know and what we trust from his word is what happens to us. What he brings into our lives is the best plan. We think we have the right direction and plans for the year, but he has, the determination is already set. It might be or might not be in accordance or how deviation it is from our initial plans, but rest assured, what will happen in your life this year is the best outcome and for your good and for his glory. So when you trust him and when things come your way and you didn't have a clue, you never planned for it and it just comes, you adjust, you give thanks to him. Because if you love him, if you have faith in him, if you trust him, you will receive him from his hand. Say, Lord, you're sending this my way. I didn't see it coming. I didn't plan for it. It's perhaps opposite to what I planned back in January, but I receive it from your hand. This is your will. So I'm going to submit to you. He will make your path straight. He will direct your paths. He will take you by the hand. So don't resist and take it from him. It's good to make plans, but we need to submit them to him. That's the second one, how. The third, how do we do it, is Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18. And sometimes we read, I put this as the offering, because I tend to do this, and I tended to do this more, but it's important for us to understand. Deuteronomy 8:18, please turn to me and maybe put a little bit of a mark there. 8:18, And we'll read paragraph 10 to 18. It's a larger paragraph. Starts at 10, closes at 18, and that's the place where we want it to be. Deuteronomy 8:10. And here Moses is talking to the people of Israel, right? The second Deuteronomy, the second law, the second time, it's the second generation after the ones that perish in the wilderness. He's talking to them. When you have eaten and are satisfied. And he's talking to Israel, but we can apply these words to us. When you have rested, when you have finished the year and you have this content and you have great success in 2023, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I'm giving you this day. So Moses is talking to the people of Israel. We have different freedom under the Spirit, but this is the same idea that we always need to be thinking about him. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. It's very common, let me tell you, from personal experience, when everything is going well in your life, when your wealth is increasing, when your property is increasing, when you're at peace, we tend to forget the Lord. So count a blessing when the Lord takes you through droughts, famines, wants, lack of sleep. Why? Because you naturally draw closer to him. Lord, I need you. I can't rest. I can't sleep. I need employment. I need income. That is a blessed position in the fact that you are looking for him. You're desperate. You need answers. You need comfort. We tend to draw away when everything is fine, when I don't have trouble, and that's dangerous. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness. So he's asking Moses to remember. Remember where you came from, and that's important. If you're in Christ today, never forget where you were before. That thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions, he brought you water out of the hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. There is testing. I would say in your plans for 2024, put a little bit of a curly bracket because you don't know, and then testing from the Lord. Expect it. I don't know how. You don't know how. You cannot plan for it. It will come. You will be tested. Why? What's it? Because the Lord wants you to be a better kid, a better child. He wants you to draw closer. He wants you to be more humble. He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to grow in the knowledge of him and his scriptures. He wants you to rely more on him. He wants you to come to him more often. He wants you to come to him in prayer more often. At the end, so why? Why? So at the end, it might go well with you. It's your benefit. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our glory. It's for us because he loves us. That's the way we get the most benefit when we glorify him and seek him. Now here in 17, getting close to our verse, you may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And that is the trap. The evil one, the world wants you to believe it's up to you. If you work hard, you can get places. You can have the best car on the street. You can beat your neighbor on the nice, clean grass. No, that's a lie from the devil. But remember, and this is, so it might happen, and it's not wrong. We don't have to not have these things. But where is the mindset? Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant which we swore to your ancestor as it is today. Whatever benefits we receive, and if we work hard and we have a great ethic, and by the way, I'm all for a perfect Protestant work ethic, which a lot of people hate about it, but it is the cornerstone of the North American culture and economy. If these countries like Canada and the U.S. have this wealth and vast wealth, it is because of the Protestant work ethic. We have to be the best employees in our workplaces. I charge you with this. Whatever you work, whatever you study, you need to be the best student. You need to be the best worker to the glory of God, because you're doing it in front of His eyes for Him, not for your manager, not for your corporation. You're doing it for Him. And at the end of the day, be very careful. Whatever wealth you produce back, whatever salary, possessions, savings, you name it, it's fine. You have to always remember He is the one who gives us the ability to produce it. There's nothing in us. There's nothing better than my coworker who is unable to understand X, Y, Z. Whatever capacity I have, the Lord has given me. Remember the Lord, for it is He who gives you the ability. So we have to have faith. And if you're in Christ, that's the most important part for you. Resolution. Erase all your resolutions from your list if you're not in Christ. And just the one you need to repent and believe in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have to be faith in Him. Then trust in the Lord. This is just for Christians. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. And remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And fourth and final, we go back to the New Testament, James 4:15. Very familiar passage on how do we do it? How do we submit to Him? How do we plan for things? And we've read this several times, and I pray that you have it in your mind closely. James 4:15, let's read 13 to 17. 13 to 17, focus on 15. Almost at the end of the Bible. Almost at the end. James 4:13. Concentrate on 15. Now listen. You who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. All your plans. I'm going to go here. I'm going to travel. I'm going to go to Philippines. I'm going to do this. I'm going to rest for a month here. I'm going to go to the U.S. to visit my brother. Whatever. Whatever plans you have, they're okay. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? So step back, stop and step back and think, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and does not do it, it is sin for them. So we do not show our resolutions and our confidence like the world does. The world does with self-assurance. I'm going to do this and do that and move here and buy this and buy that and invest this and never mention zero the Lord. If the Lord wills, but not I, but your will. No, never. The world never does that. We're not to be conformed in that sense to the world. We are to be 180 degrees different. So yes, we have these plans. Almost it's like our resolutions are in a light gray or a draft mode. Draft version one, my resolutions. Not that we should opt to change them, and we could. We can change them and adjust them as we go. But the primary purpose here is to say, it's not what I think. I would like to do this, Lord, but it is your will and not my will. What is my life? I think that's a good question for us to post at the beginning of the year. What is my life? Putting in the right perspective. In the bigger scheme, we come and we show. James says we are like a mist. It appears a little while and then vanishes. So this should give us the right perspective. It is the Lord's will if we will even live. We have plans, but the Lord's going to decide if we even live tomorrow, right? If we live and do this or that. So put it everything under him. When you come to prayer, bring your resolutions to him, your plans. Lord, I have all these plans in place. And even we're sometimes tempted to, in my case, when we talk about ministry and the church, we think, oh, this better get, I'm sure the Lord is going to bless this because it's about his church. Oh, and I'm so important because the Lord needs me to be here on Sunday. Well, no, the Lord, let me tell you, he doesn't need me. He doesn't need me. His church is his church. You are his people. You are his people. And he will provide. So in the same sense, it's important to recognize. So when Paul tells the Corinthians, whatever you do, we don't have to worry about the specifics. Whatever the Lord, if you're in Christ, has put in your heart to do this year, to plan for this year, let me tell you, you need to plan. You need to have something in your plan. You cannot just go day by day with no, but you have desires. And depending on the stage of your life you are in, that's okay. There's freedom. You have to do it for his glory. Whatever he's convinced you to do, do it for his glory. Submit to him. I remember, you need to have faith. You need to believe. If you're not in Christ, you have to. That's your first priority. You need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. So don't mean, okay, Lord, I've drawn the pros and the cons of my priority number one. And if I draw the analysis, it completely makes sense to me. It's done. Well, the Lord's going to say, well, very good. Good statistics, good planning, Pedro. I'm going to definitely do it. No, he will say like, no. You can't lean on your own understanding. Remember, our understanding is limited. Very, very limited. We think we have knowledge of all the circumstances in a given event, especially in the future. The farther we go out, the less clarity we have. But he doesn't. He has all the clarity. He has all the knowledge. He has all the wisdom. He knows what will bring him more glory and what is the best thing for us as corporate, his people, his church, and individually as his children. So it's important to always do not lean on your own understanding. That doesn't mean you don't do any work. You do the work, but don't trust your analysis. Don't trust your careful planning. You do the planning, you do the careful planning, you take it, you bring it to the Lord, and you put it at his feet. Say, Lord, this is the best I can do with my limited knowledge. I think it's the best plan, but it's in your hands. It's in your will. And you can fill in the blanks, whatever that is. It could be looking for a new job, looking for perhaps permanent residence in Canada, or work labor, or going to a course, or employment, or whatever it is, retirement. I don't know. It could be many, many things. And those are okay. They're individual and family-wise. But do the work and put it at his feet and say, Lord, whatever brings more glory to you, let it be so. And then don't forget James. If it's the Lord's will, we will leave and do this or that. So don't be confident on your own strength. Don't be confident. Remember that whatever capacity you have to be productive, whatever capacity you have to work, even in the church ministry, he has given you that capacity, and he can remove it at his will as well. So if you serve him, don't say, oh, I'm protected because I bring the word every Sunday. Well, that's not guarantee. The Lord will use you as long as he determines. Okay. Just a final word and closing then. It's important to have plannings, yes. If you're not in Christ, we urge you. We're praying for you. We're praying for our family members who are outside of Christ. We pray that the Lord will make 2024 the day of their conversion. We pray that this day it will happen to us what happens to us as well, to them as happened to us. We're not different. We're not better. We're potentially, I would say, worse than them. We want and we plead with the Lord that this year, 2024, will be the day of their conversion, that he will, by the power of the Spirit, change their heart. I was reading Ezekiel in Jeremiah. It's very clear there, the new birth, how the new birth happens. It's a heart transplant. It's a heart transplant. And only the Lord can do it. Nobody else can do it. So he uses us to bring the word, but he has to do it. We're completely unable to convert anyone. So share the gospel and pray 10 times, share the gospel once. It's prayer. Because prayer tells the Lord, I'm insufficient. I can preach the gospel till my face turns blue. If the heart is not changed, it'll amount to nothing. So please, our prayer for you in your heart with Christ this year is that you would repent and put your faith in Christ Jesus. Come to the foot of the cross, plead that he saves you, he will save you. That we know from the word. And then if you're in Christ, live and pray for a life that is worthy of his calling. Be the best kid you can. Be the best child you can. Submit to him. Have plans, yes. Submit them to him. Do the work. Work hard with all your heart unto the Lord. Whatever you do, do it for his glory. But seek to enjoy him. Seek that your main pleasure comes from him, from knowing him, from being known by him. He has given us a new name. We don't know the name yet. He will know him. He has adopted us into his family. What a blessing. So whatever comes, let comes. And there will be testing. There will be trials. But let me tell you, there is a design and a purpose. Nothing that will come in your life in 2024, in the future, is outside of the domain of the Father. He has directed it. There is a purpose. For his glory and for your own good. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the precision and for the exactness of your word. Thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to consider together, Lord, the coming year, to consider together the plans that and resolutions that we are to make. You know, Father, each individual person and family here, Lord. You know what's in their hearts. You know very well what's in their minds. You know what it's needed for them, really needed. Our prayer, Father, is that you would conform our minds and our hearts to yours, that our plans would be conformed to yours, to your decrees. Nothing that you have ordained is going to be thwarted. Nothing is going to be derailed, as it were. Your will be done. No question. You are a sovereign and majestic Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords, Lord of the universe. Father, we pray for any person outside of Christ, outside of grace this morning, that today would be the day of their salvation, that they shouldn't be again putting it off. Father, we pray for our family members who are outside of Christ, that this year, Lord, you would convert them. And we know, Lord, this could be painful. Most of the times, you have to let an individual go to the bottom, as it were, like the prodigal son, before they realize and their eyes are open and they realize they are completely destitute and lost. While there's richness, while there's comfort, while there's health, there's few hope for conversion. There's few hope for a praying Christian, a praying child. Thank you for the illnesses you throw our way. Thank you for the viruses and bacterias that you throw our way. We know they're bad, but oh Lord, in your sovereignty, use them for our own good and for your glory. You use them to turn people and bring people back. You use them to bring your children closer to you, relying on you, trusting in you. Father, we need you. You are our shepherd. You are our shepherd. You declared to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 32:33 that you had to remove the unprofitable shepherds, that they were just living and abusing the flock, your sheep. You had to step in. You had to promise a descendant, a shepherd, a son of David, and you, O Lord, in Christ Jesus, has given us this shepherd. We have the good shepherd, Christ Jesus, our Lord, seated at your right hand, interceding for us. O Christ, thank you for your beauty. Thank you for your majesty, for your power. We pray, Father, that you would bless us in this coming year, that you would direct our steps, that you would give us strength, that you would give us clarity, precision, intelligence, and all diligence, Lord, to work for you, to work for the church, to be the perfect children, Lord, as you draw closer to you, as you keep us close to the cross, and as we ask for forgiveness and increase our faith on a daily basis. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Be with us, Father, and thank you for 2023. Look forward to 2024 for your glory and for our great forever pleasure. In Christ we pray. Amen.